back in the house of the Lord. I try to pray for the services and ask that the Lord would send the Holy Spirit in a great way today. And when the day was finished, that we could say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I believe that I've felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in a great way in the song services. And I believe that He's here with us this morning. And y'all pray for me as I try to read God's Word. And I believe that He's got something new for us today. All right, in the book of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, we want to read some from the scriptures. And I could start in verse 1. And Jesus is telling them a lot of things that they shouldn't do. And one is, in verse 6, is to give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Mm-hmm. And neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now these are some of the things that can go on in a Christian's life. And a lot of times we try to help those that are not called, never will be called, and I believe that, in the name of the God never did choose them. And we try to help them. Mm-hmm. But that angry, ungodly spirit of theirs has a desire to act like wild beasts, dogs, mm-hmm. swine, and trample us, and to make fun of us, and to say things that is not true. And Jesus is telling them all these things, and he says, then again in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now this is what we're doing when we're praying. Mm-hmm. And notice he gives us three things here, after he tells us about this trampling. Then he gives us a knowledge of praying, and it is for comfort, even if we have ourselves hurt by other people by saying things that is haughty, that is hurtful. He says here, but when you have these experiences, he says when you're praying or what you're asking, notice he says you ask and you seek and you knock.
Amen.
Okay, you ask in the name of Jesus, and Jesus carries it to the Father and presents it. Then, he says, after you have asked, then you seek. You don't sit down on a stool or do nothing and whittle on a stick or do less and wait. But you seek that answer to that prayer that you ask him about. And then, last of all, he says, knock. Mm-hmm. Well, you are seeking and you're knocking and you're asking the Lord again for an entrance into that to let you know what the answer to that prayer is. Now, it may be that you're praying for a person that has walked all over you and trampled you and hurt your feelings. Well, a lot of times there takes something that's very special to pray for that person. And if he does something real hurtful to you, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal to you what is the best. A lot of times, it's the best to leave them alone for a while.
Right.
A lot of times, it's the best just to do something else. But I think this is what he's saying. And so he says here that in verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And so we have this pattern here, or this roadmap with our prayers, that when we ask, a lot of times we say, well, Lord, you didn't answer my prayer. Well, the thing of it is, he could come right back and say, well, hey, you ain't seeking.
Right.
You're not waiting. You haven't got the patience to wait. Because a lot of times it is God's will to answer the prayer, but it's not at the time that you want it or ask for it. And so it works out where that His will is done and your prayer is answered also. So these are some of the things that I was studying on and looking up and thinking about, and we'll get to the lesson in just a minute, but I want you to hear these things. Now, he says in verse 11, if talking about what you do for others, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so when we're asking these things, we know this morning that when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him these things, he is able to get the job done. He is able to go to the Father and explain the situation, because listen, he knows how the world treats human flesh, and he knows how it hurts people. And so he can explain this. And of course, I'm not saying that the Father is not aware of what's going on, but when he explains it and when he asks it, listen, it's a whole lot different from me asking.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he looks on me, he sees this old sinful flesh. Mm-hmm. But when he looks on his Son, he sees a perfect being. And then he can ask it. And I believe this morning we want to show you something this morning in the book of John before we get on any further. In John 14, I believe it is. John 14. I want to read something to you. John, let me just pick you up. John 14, 13, I believe it is. Yeah. Now, look, notice in John 14, verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, notice that. And this is something I think that we should think upon when we pray. We need to ask Jesus and tell Jesus this thing that we need. Because he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Amen.
So the glorification comes when Jesus goes to the Father and presents this to him. And then that way the God gets glory, and Jesus gets glory also here. He says, if you ask anything, in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it.
Amen.
So again, these are some of the things that a lot of times I know, I don't know why the Lord is just like this, but the thing of it is, there may be somebody here this morning that's been praying for something and you haven't seen no results.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is, you wait upon the Lord. And it may be a while, and it may be this in this service, but the thing of it is, he's promised he'd do it. And so he'll give you an answer one way or the other. So now I want you to go get on down here to verse 15. It's where I want to try to teach a little bit on this morning. He says here, beware of false prophets. Verse 15 of chapter 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. And notice these sheep and wolves are plural, so there's many of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Amen.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So a false prophet that's in sheep's clothing and looks like an apple tree, he cannot bring forth apples.
Amen.
And that's why we're looking at this here, being aware of false prophets, because they are out there. They're everywhere, and we need to pay attention to who we're witnessing to and how they're accepting it. Because listen, you know, he told the disciples there at one time when they go into this town, he says, you go in there and witness for them, and if they don't receive it, what are you supposed to do? He says, you walk out there and shake your feet, shake the dust off of your feet, and let that stay with them, and you leave them. And so this is some of the things about witnessing to false and you know, the biggest majority of the people that we try to witness to have not been saved. And so we need to take this into consideration. But here, I want you to look at something here this morning in 2 Peter concerning these false prophets. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Peter, if you want to, or just listen. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, I think. 22, somewhere along there. Let's read just a little bit more. Look at verse 1. But there were false prophets, and that's 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So here is the fruit of a false prophet. Here is the fruit of one that will not accept what you're telling them. He says they will deny, and they will deny and bring in damnable heresy upon him. And he says in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious or deadly ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. And through covetousness, or a strong desire to obtain others or to convince others, he says here, and through covetousness shall they with fringe words make merchandise of you, whose judgments now for of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So he's saying here that they're going to try to convince you that you're wrong. When you try to be a witness, that's what they got in their mind, is to convince you, and that's the biggest majority of the churches in this state today. They cannot accept the teaching of the missionary Baptist. They cannot teach. They cannot. They want to. If you say anything to them about, first thing you know, they want to do this, and they want to put in works, and they want to do this and do that, and they want to eliminate faith. But here, and that's what he's talking about. But now, he says here, in verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And you know, the angels that fell from heaven was through Lucifer, and he led a third part of the angels out of there and convinced them that he was right, which he is a type of a false prophet. Mm-hmm. And that false prophet will try to convince you this morning that he's right and you're wrong, and he'll lead you astray if you listen to him. And that's exactly what happened to the angels that were in heaven with God, and the devil was a false prophet, and he led them astray and pulled them to this earth. So he said here, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth part person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrowing, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed, and Brother Larry spoke on this here the other day, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And so here is the thing about these prophets, these false prophets. If you fool with them and you stay around them, listen, some of that stuff's going to rub off on you.
Right.
And that's just like it is out here in the world when you're going out here and walking around in the muck and the mar, and you have to work with them, and you have to eat with them, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. Listen, be aware, because that stuff will rub off on you.
Right.
And you say, no, it won't. Well, you take notice, and sometimes you'll give thought to what they say. And the devil is always there. He knows what to do. And he'll encourage you to think upon these things. And you, well, I wonder about this. And listen, they will vex your soul. Mm-hmm. And so here he's saying in verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise governments, presumptuously are they self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of deities. Now this is their thing. They're not afraid.
Right.
People, they're not afraid to look you in the eye and say, "Hey, Jesus didn't die for the sins of the world." They can look you in the eye and say, "Hey, you need to be baptized in order to be saved." These are some of the things, you know, that if you ain't a member of a certain church, you ain't going to go to heaven. These are things that that they do, and
right.
we know it. And so, and I'm not teaching you anything or reading anything to you that you hadn't read time and time again. But the thing of it is, we need to have our minds refreshed with these things.
Amen.
Because, hey, that world, it's not getting no better out there. In fact, the business is getting worse. And so he said here in verse, I'm going to read just a little bit more, and then we'll go somewhere else. But in verse 11, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not a railed accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts,
right,
made to be taken and destroyed. Now listen, what is he saying here? These people are like the swine and like the dogs and all this. And we'll read this in the last verse here. But these are people, he says they are natural brute beasts. And what does he say? They're made to be taken and destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sounds like to me that that person, that prophet there, that false prophet, is like them, and God made them. He created it. He allowed them to be born, and there's not a chance in this world for them to be saved.
You're right.
Because they're brute beasts, and they're like that. And notice here, I want you to see something else here, and look in verse 21. And verse 21. Well, let's look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now this is not salvation. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And I they'll use this verse on you right here to say that you can be saved and you can be lost and you can be saved again. And listen, it's not saying that. Because notice what it's saying. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge, they heard it. They heard it preached. They heard it taught. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They heard it. And there's people out there all over this country, and there's people this morning that is watching this on the computers and all this. Listen, they are hearing it, but all they're doing is getting a brain knowledge of what I'm saying.
Right.
Because listen here, he says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled again therein and overcome. So they have been exposed to it, but and latter end is worse with them than the beginning. He says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandments and deliver it unto them. So those that hear it and turn from it will have a greater punishment in hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it's saying. There ain't no ifs and ands about it. That's what the Bible is saying. So, for if it had been better for them to have not known it. In other words, the old boy over here that's never heard a thing preached in a country where there's nothing out, he's going to be better off. He's going to have a, if you can say this, have a less punishment than this one that has been exposed to it and rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, now, the last end of it is, in verse 22, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is returned to his own vomit again. He never did deny it because it's his, you see. And the sow that was washed to her wallow in the mire. And you that have seen a dog do these things and a hog that does these things, hey, they're natural brute beasts.
Right.
They have no soul. They weren't created to anything but live here on this earth and to die, and they're out of existence. There's nothing left of them. They rot, and there's nothing left of them. And so this is what he is comparing a false prophet to.
Right.
And this false prophet, buddy, I tell you what, he's of the devil, and he will cause you problems. And so be aware of what we have read. Notice in Micah, back over in just a little bit back over in Micah 6, I think it is Micah 6, 6. I want to read just a little bit to you. Notice here, Micah 6, 6. It's right back in the Old Testament, right next to Matthew. There, it's easy to find. Micah 6, 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God? And these things here, if you follow these things and keep your ear away from these false prophets, because listen, you can you can spot them, people. And
wow.
I know this morning that there is that Holy Spirit within me that warns me. Just as soon as I see one or I hear one talk, I know him. I know him just as well, and I can be on guard. And if he has anything to say, I've got thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I can say, this is what it says. If you want to believe it, fine. If you don't, hey, I believe it. And they can preach whatever they want. They can teach whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. But listen, God's word is true. And if you study God's word and if you pray earnestly to the Lord that he will answer your prayers, that he will let the Holy Spirit dwell within you and be in you peace in your heart and warn you of these things. Hey, it's just like an alarm that goes, a smoke alarm that goes
off.
But when you burn something in the skillet and that alarm goes off, you know there's something wrong. And the same way with the inward spirit, it warns you and it tells you. So these are some of the things that, and it's part of the things that I've seen that I wanted to try to study and all. But anyway, I've got some of it that will maybe help you and give you something to think about and give you some searching to do in the Bible, and just take that and thank the Lord for it, that I was able to stand up here and read God's Word. Thank you all very much for listening.
Amen. Amen.